Good morning. Good morning, children. You see that sunlight coming through there? Oh, my. I tell you, it's appreciated, because if you heard some of the forecasts, I know my agriculturalists are man, they're watching it, Gail. But my goodness, I heard of snow coming this week. My goodness. But look at this day. Beautiful day. So we want to open the floor to any announcements. And I do want to begin immediately. I want to have us aware that an unspoken prayer request has been lifted up. There's an unspoken prayer request. Now then, parish notices. And I'm looking for the man. I'm looking for Kevin here. Where's Kevin?
Hey, Greg, I got one real quick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brad.
I need a little trustees meeting up front church, after church, please.
You got it, bro. And I'm glad you said that, too, because that triggered an important announcement for the church family. It's in the bulletin every week, right? Laura, where is it? There it is. Yeah, this is our church bulletin. Of course, the 749-2383. But guess what? Thanks to these great trustees, 419-749-2103, it's the number again. And it shall be, thanks to the trustees who were industrious and did some coordinating with the companies out there, you got it back. So you call that anytime now. You need to leave a message. That old message machine works fantastic. It's one of the rare ones that in a power outage, it does not lose. Yes, my brother-in-law, Gary, Reverend Gary Williams, gave me that. Yeah, it does not lose a message. Bless his heart. So it's back. That number's back, and I'm still looking for... There. Hey, Kevin, do you want to say anything? You know what? He's the coach, because he does so well. But the golf outing this afternoon, look at this beautiful day. Look at that beautiful day. Bob, I cannot be there, so you've got a chance to win now. That's a little joke. That's a little humor.
I have announcements for UMW, please. Next Sunday is UMW Sunday. We'll have installation of our new officers next week. So I also will need some volunteers if you would like to usher or greet. I have some, but I was informed today I may need another one. So we'll be doing the children's time and also the participating in the service, as well as the installation. But we're also going to highlight the Church Women United's project, the Blanket Project. And so we will have a short video on that, and it talks about the need for blankets and water for the team that they support. So if they don't want blankets, they would like $5. So we'll put out the jar for a support of the Blanket Project. So $5, and that will take care of blankets and some water needs. So we do appreciate the support that you always give us. Thank you.
Lynn, thank you so much. Really looking forward. Yes, I heard it. Oh, yes, sure, you're good. Looking forward to UMW service next week.
As you know, our church is once again giving the election supper, and I've got a sheet out on the bulletin board for pie donations and cakes. So anybody that would like to sign up, we'd appreciate it.
Fantastic, Linda. Fantastic. Boy, I've been already been hearing the buzz going around. I mean, where does the time go? We're already there, basically. Any other? Yes, Tawna.
Sign up sheet for the cookie benefit is also out there.
Excellent. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Tawna. And I know there's like a dinner next to Saturday and all that. Oh, this is wonderful. Bless your hearts. Because, well, and there's Kevin, you know, best friend to Craig. I just telling Randy, I've talked with some of y'all that the saying is they go in threes. Well, it started with Rosanna Etkin. So we've got now nine counting Dolores Harris this afternoon. So please remember her family in your prayers for that graveside service. That's this afternoon that I'll be presiding over that. But 3339 is the total. So lift them up in prayer. Any other parish notices to come before us? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Mm-hmm.
pray. Holy God of all creation, we gather once again to celebrate our commitment to be your church in this time and in this place. Write your law within our hearts this morning and in the days to come, that we may be your people, a people committed to following Jesus. In his name and for his glory, we pray. Amen. Come, people of God, come together in the presence of our Creator.
We come hungry with the new covenant God promises to write on our hearts.
Come, people of faith, God is here to fill us with wisdom and patience.
We come yearning for God's justice and faithful presence in our world.
Lift up your hearts, your voices, unto the Lord in praise, the opening hymn of praise, 395. Take time to be holy. Take this opportunity to welcome your neighbors to the passing of the peace.
26.
Good morning.
What'd you say? 31?
At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Something to show you. You ready for this? Let me start at this end. Parker, can you see that? You and Mason see that? Okay, let me just drift on over. Make sure everybody gets to see it, because I'm going to ask you all. I'm going to ask you in a second. Can you all see? Can you see that? Isn't that cute? See it, guys? All righty. Who knows what that is? What is it, Allison? Hang on just a second, we'll get you. Here we go. Tell the
a hummingbird.
It is indeed. You know what, guys? The season, I think, is over. Anybody here know birds? I'm not. Now, Ed, you take for Mama, don't you? You put that hummingbird feeder right outside Romaine's window. Do you know, Coach, when they migrate? I do not. Anybody here know about when they'll go south? Are they gone by now? And the snows are going to fly this week. Are they probably gone? Well, it might be too late, guys, but next spring, I want to be sure to show you guys. I got a hummingbird feeder out back on Monmouth Road. And Laura, did we have hummingbirds? Man, we did. Aren't they amazing? And now, it's about one of the smallest birds that God ever made. It's a little shorter. It's a little shorter than my finger. How many of you have seen a hummingbird? You have? Yes, you have, buddy, because Monmouth, we got them out there. I was amazed at that. Of course, we had them behind the parsonage, too. I had Ruth Ellen's hummingbird feeder, and we had them out there, Patty. But the thing about the hummingbird, it's an amazing creature. It flaps its wings. It has tiny little wings. But it manages to flap them between 50 and 80 times per second. Let me say that again. Between 50 and 80 times per second. So that means at the very least, it's going to be flapping its wings 50 times a second. Now when you go home, I want you to go to your room, and I want you to try to flap your arms 50 times a second. You're going to get tired real quick because it's impossible to do, but not for the hummingbird. Now, you can imagine if you're going to do that kind of work, they're among the greatest flyers God ever made. If you're going to do that kind of work, then you know what? You're going to need a lot of energy, aren't you? You bet. Here's the thing about the hummingbird. They feed, because of the expenditure of energy, they feed almost every second that they're awake. And they fly most of the time. So they are constantly flying and they are constantly feeding to sustain their lives. Well, I lift that up because God wants you and I to be like hummingbirds when it comes to praying. He gives a parable this morning about our need to pray constantly. Now, what Jesus is talking about, Jesus isn't saying we're going to be talking constantly. Prayer is more listening to God than it is speaking to God. But what it's all about, it's a relationship that's supposed to take place every second of our existence. Because only when we're in the relationship with our Creator, only when we're in that relationship, are we being fed the spirit bread that gives us real life, real energy, real strength, spirit strength? So let's go to the Lord right now in a circle. And we're going to be like hummingbirds. That's what we are, man. We're going to be like hummingbirds. We're going to lean on Jesus for strength and for food and for direction. Oh, Lord, we do turn to you. You made us, Lord God. So we want to know life, and we'll know life when we come to you. When we live in you, Lord, and let you live in us, then we'll have real life. So give us that life. And help us to go to other boys and girls. We want them to have a real life too, and they'll have it in Jesus. So we want to be a witness to them about all the blessings that you gave us, you who made us. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Now, before you go to your pews, you know the drill. Hummingbirds, well, Bob, you know the formula. You gave me a formula one time, didn't you, Coach? Wait a second. Bob, didn't you give me the formula one time to make homemade hummingbird formula? What is it, Coach?
The water?
Yeah.
1 cup of sugar to 4 cups of water.
Thank you, buddy. 1 cup of sugar, four cups of water, 4 cups of water, 1 cup of sugar. Sugar. Well, here we go. Moms and dads, I don't know whether they love me or not, but here comes the sugar. Okay, so you want to grab 2. It's going to give you energy. It's going to give you energy. And you're going to give one away to give someone else energy. But not just physical energy, because there again, you're going to hand it, you're going to tell them. What? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them, Allison? I don't have my mic, but what are you going to tell them? God loves them. Now that's real food. All righty. Deb, this is good sugar, isn't it? This is good sugar. I want to thank whoever's been gifting us with the suckers here. Thank you so much. I just opened another one today, by the way. Yeah, so thank you so much for that hospitality. You know, I might be holding that up at the wrong angle. Can you see okay, guys? You pick 2 that you want. 1 you're going to give away. Those look like winners to me. Yes, they do. Now, you may return to your pews, and Allison's going to help us with that act of hospitality. We're talking about hospitality. Here you go, Allison. Allison's going to help us. If you're a visitor today, we welcome you. Wonderful to have you here. We would encourage you to take our invitation, to take the visitor's card. There's visitor cards in the pew. And just fill it out. Take a moment, fill it out. And when the ushers come by for the morning offering, just toss the visitor's card in there. If you want me to give you a phone call, put your telephone number on there. And I will be sure to get back with you, because these ushers are fantastic. They always get those to me. So we always get back to you. We want to get you acquainted. They let me give this announcement again because we are prepared for you. For you. So here's our act of hospitality. The joys and concerns. If you have a joy, maybe it's a birthday announcement. Maybe it's a wedding anniversary announcement. Maybe it's a testimony of how the Lord has given you this spirit strength, this bread of heaven, this food from God. You want to lift it up. Raise your hand for that joy. Perhaps it's a concern. Maybe there are those who are sick right now. You want to lift them up in prayer. Joys or concerns, and I do see a hand way back there. Allison, I see a hand way back there. Thank you, Allison.
Yes, I want to take this time to thank Lynn for taking care of the UMW meeting for me in the time of my loss. Of my best friend and stuff. So I just want to thank her for taking care of that for me.
That is that. There you go. There's a great caring family, huh, Marie? Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lynn. A great caring family. Any other testimonies, joys, concerns? Just raise your hand. Allison's going to bring you the microphone. Yes, indeed, Mother.
Well, I've just got to say that my younger brother had a birthday yesterday.
Indeed.
I won't tell you how old he is, but I'm about 14 years older than he is.
So it's
is.
A little brother, huh?
And so
brother.
You can figure out if you know either one of us' age.
Okay. All right. Well, a happy birthday, and thank you, Fritzy. Thank you for lifting up your little brother. And you know, these two are regulars at our Bible study. I do want to mention, of course, we've got to add board this week. And we will not have Bible study next week. I meant to put that in the bulletin. So for the next 2 weeks, finishing out October, we will not be having the Bible study. We will return the first Thursday in November. And the second Thursday in November, it completes. It completes. You're still invited. Come to any of those. Been getting more and more joys, more and more accolades about just how fantastic that journey is with this new group, the Deeper Connection faculty, the professors. So that's, again, first Sunday in November, and it's a joy to be there. Other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns?
Oh. Happy birthday, Dad, and he's 20 years older than me.
There you go. Happy birthday, Bob. Very, very good. Any more joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? In the back, very good, very good.
The Crestview boys' third and fourth grade football team played in a championship game last night. They lost, but I told Mason and Parker there's nothing wrong with second.
That's right, Lisa. Yeah, give them a cheer. Give them a cheer. Thank you, Lisa. Other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? Allison's doing a great, great job here. It's a beautiful day. Look, oh, look at the sunlight. Isn't that gorgeous? Just gorgeous.
Not to take away from your children's time there, Greg, but I do have to know that, and I was astounded when I read it, that the hummingbird is one of the most vicious birds on the planet.
Oh, is it really?
Really. And we have a hummingbird feeder in front of our cottage right by the picture window. And only one hummingbird would feed out of that because he would drive all the other ones away.
It's territory.
I saw that with my own eye. That was his turn. Well, he had to have food because, you know, they expend so much energy.
I love it, Keith. Yep. I'll have to get me a sweatshirt, put a hummingbird on it, and somebody tease me and say, "This is a beast." I love it. Keith, thank you for that. I love hummingbirds. How many of you enjoy hummingbirds? Well, now remember, take this parable to heart and be like a hummingbird in your prayer life. Constantly, constantly in prayer. Let's show an appreciation for Allison. Wonderful servant. Thank you, Allison. Thank you. Let us turn to the Lord in silence. You know, Heavenly Father, we've had fun with that image, that analogy of that hummingbird. And I get concerned for it, though, Creator, because, I mean, you know, when we study and we learn that it basically must have food constantly to survive. What a great Creator you are. For there they are. There they are. And here we are. Lord God, we need your spiritual nourishment to survive, Lord God. We're utterly dependent upon you, Lord, our Creator. But thank you for the witness of the Savior Jesus who has taught us by the cross. You are utterly dependable. You will never forsake us. Thank you for your steadfast love. Now bless us and deepen our faith, O Lord, as you deepen our prayer life. As we follow the invitation of our Lord to come to you, to pray from our hearts in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to have us stand together. One of the suggested hymns for this very lesson of Jesus in the Bible this morning. My faith looks up to thee, 452. Let us stand together. Thank you. seated. And now this is one of the actual lectionary readings for this Sunday. This one comes to us from Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, choir. That's beautiful. It's beautiful on this beautiful day. Beautiful. I found a little story that came from August the 3rd, 1970. I really pondered this, kids. Baby boomers, I pondered this because I must say 1970, August 3rd. I was not even starting my last year of high school yet. I graduated in 71. So this took place August 3rd, 1970 in Yorkshire, England. Miriam Hargrave, 62 years of age, finally passed her driver's test after having failed 40 times. And it cost her, she incurred a bill of $720. Now, this is 1970, though, Dick, and I don't know what her station in life was, but it turned out, I mean, she was thrilled. You know, she finally got it, but what she'd spent on lessons left her with no money to buy a car. Well, I don't know whether that's so bad, though. You know what, Gene? I don't know whether I would want to be going down the road knowing that little lady coming my direction had failed her driver's test 40 times. Well, it gets better. It gets better. Once again, we're going to England. This was a cleric, an English cleric, by the name of Reverend David Guest. Not 40, but 632 lessons, $11,000. He wore out 8 instructors, crashed 5 cars, and took him 17 years, but he finally got his driver's license. Now the thing was, and again, Reverend Guest, when he got that license, he got down on his knees and he prayed and he thanked God. You know, 17 years it took him. Well, you know what the other thing is, though? I have a feeling after you've crashed your 5th car, there are probably other occasions of prayer. You know what I'm saying? But there you go, $11,000, 632 lessons, 8 instructors, and 5 crash cars. We admire people who just won't give up. Right, coaches? Right, coaches? We admire people who won't give up. We've got a house full of coaches here. You know that. There was another gentleman. He was a salesman by the name of Bruce. He was having one of those rough days. We've all had those rough days, right? Amen? We've all had rough days. He was having a tough old day, and it was lunchtime, so he goes into his favorite eatery. And I bet you we've all gone through this, too. I know at Lakeside, don't we, Tana? You'll go to those eateries up there, and they're so packed, they'll say, "Would you mind sharing your table with this person?" So he had to share a table with a lady that was kind of strangely dressed, and they struck up a conversation. She was an older woman, and he said, "My name is Bruce." He told he was a salesman. She says, "My name is Angela, and I'm a messenger." Now, right there, there's something of interest, right? That should pique your interest right there, because Angela comes from the same root word, angelos, in the Greek, which means messenger. Messenger. Isn't that interesting? Her name's Angela. She's a messenger. And they had a little more chit-chat. And finally, he went right to the heart of the matter. He couldn't stand any longer. He said, "A messenger for whom, Angela?" "Oh, for her." She pointed up. "For her, madam?" "God." "For God." "Her." "Her," in this case. "Her." "God." And now he can't stand it. He's a little bit unbelieving, but he finally asks her, "So what is your message?" "Hang in there." Now, wow, Angela, angelos, messenger of the message. Hang in there. He never saw her again, but he never forgot that day, especially as desperate as he was that day, having a hard time. He was in the doldrums. We've all been there, right? Hang in there. That is a good message from her, from him. God is spirit, Jesus said. All who worship the Father will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus gave us a parable about the need to pray always and hang in there, not lose heart. Now here goes the parable. He says there was a certain city and a judge lived in this city who neither feared God nor had any respect for people. And in that same city, there was a widow. Now, by the way, women, we've had this in our Bible lessons, women and children were of the same political power, which was no power. They're the powerless. They're the marginalized, if you will. They are the invisible. They're not in the vision of anybody with any sort of a political journey. This is a judge. I talk politics. This is a judge. So in that same city, there was this widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." Well, at first he refused, but later this old judge says to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to grant her justice so that she won't wear me out by continually coming." Now Jesus says, listen to what this unjust judge says. Will not God, on the other hand, God, your Creator, will not God grant justice to His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He long delay in helping them? I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you, He will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, Jesus says, when I, the Son of Man, come, this is the second coming, this is the parousia, the end of time. When I come, will I find faith upon the earth? Now, the New International Version does something. They go back more so to the Greek. Greek translations, I rarely use them because when I translate in Greek, it's very, very wooden. It's very wooden. And in order to make it palatable for our diet, you really have to work at doing consciousness A to consciousness B. But in this case, the hermeneutics, in this case, I want to go back to the original tongue. Because what's happening here is the New International, how many of you got the NIV, the New International Version? How many of you lean on that from time to time? It's a good version. And it's set, because it really gets, again, a lot of times they pay attention to the Greek manuscript. And what the widow says, what the judge is up against, we talked about, Tana, this being a woman. And again, you know, we're better than that, right? Ladies, okay, you know that. We don't buy into that paradigm, but that's the way it was. Just as we don't buy into slavery, praise God, right? Because of Jesus, we don't put it aside. But at any rate, this is a woman, a powerless. And you know what the judge is actually saying in the Greek? I'm going to grant her justice, lest she comes and gives me a black eye. That's what it said. A black eye. Forget powerless, right? Forget timid. We're talking that hummingbird that's a beast, buddy. That's what we're talking, Keith. The hummingbird that is a little beast. It's like a husband said of his wife. She was just a small, you know, tiny little statured woman. He says, you know, I find that when my wife is a little upset, sometimes a simple calm down in a soothing voice is all it takes to get her a lot upset. Amen, guys? This is the hummingbird who is the beast. I'm going to give her justice lest she comes back and gives me a black eye. That's right. There's a force here that's going on, right? There's a dynamic that's going on here. And that's what prayer is. Prayer isn't a talking thing. The prayer that Jesus is talking about, well, picture a conduit. How many of you have had a home that you didn't have electricity to because something failed in the conduits and they had to come in there, the engineers had to come in there and they had to restore the connection? And once they restore that and that power is coming from the transformer and it floods in your home, light returns. God is the source of our being. God is the source of life. He made us, He engineered us, and He made us to live with the conduit that He calls prayer, which is every second of the day. Right? Hummingbird, 50, 80 times a second? Oh, faster than that. More than that. Down to the microcosm. The Creator wants us to live in that dynamic. And if we give it up, if we look another direction, if we give it up, Jesus says, oh, what you may lose. Oh, what you may lose. Years ago, an old man went to see the famous 19th century poet and artist Dante Gabriel Rossetti. And he brought to Rossetti a stack of sketches and paintings. And the old man says, "Mr. Rossetti, what do you think of this artwork?" Well, Rossetti looked over the first few paintings, and sadly, he could see immediately that they were of no marketable value whatsoever. They didn't show the least hint of artistic talent. Rossetti was a kind-hearted soul. So he told the old fella as gently as possible. He says, "I'm sorry, sir, but I got to tell you that they're of no real value, and I would be cruel if I were to mislead you and tell you otherwise. I'm sorry." Well, the visitor was disappointed, but you know, oddly enough, he didn't seem surprised by Rossetti's judgment. And he thanked him, he apologized for taking up his time, and then he says to him, "Now, Mr. Rossetti, though, before you go, could you just take one quick glance at just a couple more sketches? These were made by a young artist." Rossetti kindly consented, gracious, good-hearted soul, as I said, good-hearted soul, kind man. He takes a look at the next batch, and immediately he becomes enthusiastic over the talent that they clearly reveal, this brilliance there. Now these are good. Now this young artist has great talent, and as a matter of fact, listen to me, he must be given every help and encouragement as he now continues a career as an artist. We are going to see great things from this young man if he'll only work hard and stick to it. Rossetti noticed that the old fellow was deeply moved. And so he quickly says, "Oh, well then, could these be the paintings of your son, perhaps?" "No," said the old man, "it is me. 40 years ago. Oh, if I'd only heard your praise then. But you see, I became discouraged and I gave up too soon. It has been said in poetry, in literature, we've got literature professors here, English teachers. It has been said that among the most sorrowful words that could ever be written and penned, it might have been. Jesus says, I give you this conduit. I give you this relationship that will never fail you. Never fail you. But when I come back to my planet, when I come back to Earth, will I find you using this relationship? Will I find such faith upon the earth?" In closing, we're human, aren't we? And that's why he tells this parable, because of our need to pray constantly and not give up heart. That means that implied along with that is a given that it's so easy to give up heart. Is it not? Surely it is. In closing, Jeanette Strong shares of an epiphany that she had, oddly enough, mothers and dads, while she was washing her little boy's hair as a toddler. Now hang on, moms and dads, you're going to relate to this. She said, you know, shampooing a toddler's hair was not always easy. Right, moms and dads? Amen. 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 It started out uneventful. Little fella sitting there in the tub, Allison, puts the shampoo on the head. Everything's just fine. But the moment mama started pouring on the water to make the lather, he became frightened and down went the head. Well, you know what happens, moms and dads, right? What happens? Well, that old stinging soap goes immediately into the eyes, pain and tears. She said, I tried to explain to him that if he would just look up to me, he could avoid that pain. And he would agree. And we'd start all over, shampoo on the head, everything's fine. Here comes the water. His fears would quickly overcome his trust. Down goes the head, more tears. Well, one day, while she was trying to convince her little boy to look up and trust her, she had this epiphany, an aha moment. She thought, you know, I gotta confess, this is very much like my relationship with God. Jeanette says she knows that God is her heavenly Father. She knows that God loves her and loves us, and she believes, she trusts God. But you know, sometimes in those difficult situations of life, she confesses that she panics and turns her eyes away from God. She says this never solves the problem at all. In fact, it just increases her fear, and the shampoo of life, if you will, the spirit journey, just simply blinds her sight. Now, she's concluded this. Here's her conclusion. Even though her son knew that she loved him, he found it tough to trust her in a panicky situation. She knew that she could provide for him and care for him, but it wasn't always easy for her to convince him of that, especially when all he could see was the water coming down. And that's where we are a lot of times in the old journey. The water is a coming down, right? The water is coming down. It's rushing. She says, you know, from now on, when I find myself in a panicky situation, I now try to trust my, look at my little toddler. I imagine him in that tub. And now she says, I picture him looking up at me and trusting me. Because she said, I'm telling you, I am human and I do get afraid and I do panic. But I am trying more to look to God and to trust God for his care. Because this one will never betray that trust, right? Right? Dolores' trust in Jesus, was it betrayed? Of course not. We cry, but we cry for ourselves, not for Dolores. Dolores now knows that that trust in Jesus is secure. Her hope again, as with Esther, her hope is now fully realized on the shores of heaven. Sisters and brothers, throughout the journey of life, there's plenty to cause panic. But you know what? Let's keep looking up to the Lord. God is able. God is able to take us by the hand through this journey. And God is able to safely deliver us one day on the shores of heaven. Until that time, let us trust Him. Let us walk daily with Him every moment. And let us serve Him. Because there are plenty of children in this world who are afraid today. God needs his disciples. So let's go to work. Right now the ushers will help us in that service as they come to enable us to serve the Lord through the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Holy God, inspiring wellspring of compassion, we come to you, offering our lives and our industry as fruit of the good news that you are bringing into the world. Bless these gifts, that others may be touched by the grace and tender mercy we have found in your love. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Kevin. Folks, I want to immediately say this before we have this closing hymn. And what a powerful closing hymn. But I do want to share this with you. I will need to rush out of here. Dave Bowen, Coach Bowen, God bless him, has kindly consented as our lay leader. He's going to be here to greet you. But I am really going to have to fly. I mapped out two possible routes to the cemetery yesterday just to make sure my time management wasn't that far off. I am really going to be pressed for time to be able to process the next service and be able to get to Dolores' family. So please forgive me. And Dave, thank you, Dave. At this time, then, we lift up from our hearts powerful hymn of faith, 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion and that fellowship with the Holy Spirit rests and abide with us now and forevermore.